Hey.
Hey, hey, hey. RuPlay with Ray and Danae.
Welcome back, everyone.
How's it going, Ray?
I'm pretty fantastic. I was living for this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. I have to admit, in all of 9 seasons, I love me a good fairy tale.
Draggily Ever After.
Yes, that is the name of the episode. And you know what? The Maxi Challenge was one of the coolest challenges because it's literally open to any style of interpretation. You can have, and you did, you had some really bizarre, weird, out-of-this-world stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint, hint. Or you had some, well, below-the-sewer fantasy life. So it was actually really quite fantastic. But for those who are just joining us, my name is Ray Sunshine. I am Vancouver's busy drag queen.
Yeah,
I am the, I guess you can call me a star of YouTube's Busy Drag Queen series. We are actually in the making of beginning to write up number 5, the
nice.
Halloween edition.
Oh, snap.
So I'm really excited for that one coming up. And yeah, I have been doing drag for almost 13 years. I'm also a professional makeup artist for those who have just joined us, if you didn't join us on the last 2 podcasts. And yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this one. You can hear it in my voice that I am that excited. I'm bouncing up and down like a child.
Is this your excitedness? This is you excited?
Yes. You can't tell because it's a podcast.
Thank you, Ray. And yeah, speaking of you being a makeup artist, you're my makeup artist. That's
hey.
How we know each other.
Yep.
My name's Danae Johnson. I am a wannabe drag queen. I am also a radio host here in Vancouver, where we're doing this podcast from, on a radio station called Virgin Radio Vancouver. And I'm in a singing girl group called The Queens.
Yes, you guys are. And you're really actually fucking good. You guys are opening up for
Cisco.
Yes.
That thong, ta thong, thong, thong. Yeah.
We will never sing again, don't worry.
13th?
Yeah.
Yeah, should be good. If you're in Vancouver, come out.
Yeah, it's going to be quite exciting.
Anyway, shall we get to the recap of this bad boy?
Yeah, so what happened in our last podcast? Episode 2, we wrapped it up. Cynthia Lee Fontaine came back. The Queens did a huge, massive challenge. And James Mansfield went home. So this is literally coming right back after James just left the first lipstick message on the mirror. All the girls were kind of sad.
They were given a little bit of shade, though.
And then it got shady real
quick. I was
quick.
Actually surprised because that doesn't typically happen very
often. No, and again, the fact that Valentina has only been doing drag for 10 months was brought up again.
Mm-hmm.
And Trinity threw some light, colorful shade, as any queen would, and I kind of got a good giggle of it. I'm going to knock you off your pedestal or out of the winner's circle.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
So I really did enjoy that. And then it was quickly brought to an end by RuPaul coming in.
Yes, yeah. So we start off with Ru coming in, telling the girls basically that this episode, they are going to be creating their own princess, mythology themed. It's supposed to have a bit of a mythology theme. That they had to create a custom outfit for the main stage. And then this was a bit of a trip. They also had to create a sidekick character and also do the voice
of said sidekick.
And act out that sidekick.
So they had two characters to create. They had to create the princess herself.
Yes.
And then the crazy sidekick that would go along with it. What I didn't know, and you find out later on in the episode, is that you actually saw what they had to create as well. It wasn't 2 runway looks. It was the runway look with a side-by-side CGI character.
Yes.
Cartoonage, almost, of whatever the queen created. So it got really cool, and it also got a little disturbing.
Yeah, and some of them it wasn't so cool.
Some of it wasn't so cool, and some of it was like, fuck yes, queen, you just slayed the house down.
Fuck yes, queen!
But, you know, it was a really cool challenge. With a challenge like that, you know, and any drag queens that are listening to this podcast, I'm not alone when I was sitting there sketching out a million little designs on my little notepad here going, oh, my God, I could do that. I could do this. I could do this. Oh, here's a backstory. And then, of course, Frozen started running through my mind. And I'm like, you could have Olaf come back.
Oh,
everyone loved Olaf. Come on. And no. And then I had to stop myself because my friend was like, you need to stop.
Is that what you would do? You'd do something Frozen inspired?
For myself, if it was actually going to be me, I would actually end up doing The Princess from the Dark Side of the Moon.
The Princess from the Dark Side of the Moon, and what inspired, like, what made you think of that?
Oh, I'm a Sailor Moon nerd, if anyone who knows who
am.
So my mind instantly went to Sailor Moon World. And, you know, the Dark Side of the Moon, it's wrapped up in such mystery. So it really can leave an interpretation to having some really cool, like, Mystic kind of makeup styles. You can really create some effects and like light reflective crystals on it. So you can have a really beautiful fantasy look, but with this touch of just like, oh my God, she's going to rip your fucking heart out.
I was going to say, there's got to be some effed up component to this
because
your stuff is always like effed up.
I'm a little twisted and I'm happy to be twisted.
A little.
Yeah. And then I think my little companion would probably be like a bat.
A bat.
Yeah?
I could actually see you having a little bat.
A bat with like a big eyeball.
With a, just one.
Yeah, I am totally stealing that from like Sailor Moon, but I love the thought of like Zirconia's little I don't remember the actual the character's
I don't
name.
Either because I haven't watched Sailor Moon since
okay.
I was a child.
But the little bat had a name. I can never remember their name, but Zirconia owned it and it was fierce. Anyways,
oh, man.
Back on topic.
Yeah, so we go to the room, the girls are making their outfits, and I mean right away it goes
to
Kimora and Pheromone just bitching and complaining about the fact that they don't know how to sew.
You know, I'm still flabbergasted how you can get on a show like RuPaul and not be able to do the basics of drag. Like,
well, you know what you're getting
on. Like, well, it's you're 9 seasons in.
Yeah.
You've obviously watched the show. You've had friends that have been on the show. The two girls are from Vegas. They talk to Derek Barry all the time. You clearly know that it's just there's sewing challenges coming your fucking way. How do you not at least rhyme, you know, take up the mustard to
buy a sewing machine.
Sewing machine or take a sewing course.
It's not that hard.
It's not that tricky. Or you glue gun it. I mean, the basic drag rules are like, you know, hot glue gun, E6000, and staples.
Can you really do a full spectrum of costumes without knowing how to sew?
I have known queens that have been able to go to the dollar store and make a full-fledged look out of whatever materials they find there. And, you know, if you ever want to challenge yourself, go to Michael's Crafts, grab a bunch of paper, and make an outfit out of it.
Without sewing it.
Glue it onto a bodysuit. As long as you have a base, and it's exactly what Eureka tried to show Farrah when she was fixing the bra.
Yeah.
Glue it down, start your pattern, and go from there. But just get it done. Don't be afraid of getting burnt.
Now, speaking of that, Eureka did kind of come to her rescue and help Pheromone out, and I was envisioning you in that situation. I'm like,
a little
I wonder
bit of like that mother, the mother hen kind of
idea. Yeah, because I know you're like that, but
a
this is
bit.
Also a competition. So if you were in that place, would you help out another contestant?
You know, I probably would. I would still end up helping somebody, but I would make sure that my own stuff was in order beforehand.
Oh, I thought you were going to say mine is better.
Well, not too, obviously. But I mean, I tend to keep most of the things that I work on top secret, especially if it's a big project. Like when I revealed Maleficent at Coronation 46, I didn't tell anyone here in Vancouver what I was doing. And when I finally walked into that ballroom dressed as Maleficent with the horns and everything, the 9 yards, people were like, oh shit, oh fuck, you came like you were gonna drop a curse at any fucking second. And I'm like, well, thank you.
The big reveal.
Yeah. So again, with a show like this, it is nice to see queens help each other, because you know there's a sisterhood to drag, and it is very close. Even if you've been doing drag for like 2 weeks, you kind of begin to become part of a sisterhood. You meet people that join with you, so helping someone else a really good a great idea. But make sure it doesn't cost you. My biggest fear for Eureka is that her kindness might end up costing her in the end.
See, I'm a bit of a selfish bitch. I would not have helped her.
Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't have.
Okay,
it's a competition. Yeah. I'm in it to win it. That's maybe why I don't have very many people who like me, but
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, and speaking about people like that you just kind of want to like raise an eyebrow to, Kimora made a comment going, Kim K wouldn't have to sew her own outfit.
Yeah, you're really stuck on this, hey?
And I'm like, well, you know what? She used to organize Paris Hilton's fucking closet.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure Kim K knows how to sew.
I wonder, though, how if Kimora has made her money. Because if you work hard for your money, you make your money, you're entitled to hire somebody to make your costumes or spend it
for
how
sure.
you like.
I am never against hiring a designer or having collaboration with another artist to create a look. That said, you should at least be able to create a look. And Kimora did, you know, in the end, she had a finished look.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't amazing, but it was a finished look. She completed it.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference. For me, if I'm ever having a costume made for our girl group or whatever, I feel like I'm always the mastermind behind it, where I know exactly what I want it to look like. I'm doing the full creation and creative process. But then, I don't know how to sew very well, so I would then hire someone to make it for me.
Or even pull out suggestions. Like when we did our photo shoot for the podcast, you had options.
Yes.
So, I mean, even if you walk in going, okay, I may not be able to sew, but here's a base. I know I can at least come out with something and get something done.
Yeah.
So there's always a plan B. I always tell my drag children, never have just one outfit if you're going out for the evening. Always have a backup, because if you're getting dressed and your big old hoof goes through your goddamn sleeve, what are you going to do then? What you going to do? You're going to wear one sleeve? No, you're going to switch outfits and you can sew that later on.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah.
And then, I was kind of moving on to the fact here of when the girls were talking to Aja about if she was worried about people seeing her on this show, being that before this show, people had really just seen her on social media.
Correct.
And she was using a lot of
Facetune.
Facetune, which is a great app, by the way, if you want to get rid of
Facetune. I've never touched it.
Get rid of wrinkles and...
You know, I really am not a big fan of filters. Again, when you do makeup professionally, you don't want to see your makeup change. So when you see someone post an image of, say, the makeup that you've done on them, and they post it onto social media, but they've put it through 18 filters, it doesn't even look like your work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then people message you going, oh, how did you do that makeup? Well, I didn't. That's all Facetune.
Right.
Right? So it kind of switches it, and it kind of aggravates me to
the point.
So you
never edit any of your
The only
photos?
Thing I ever would do every now and then is I'll adjust the lighting.
Okay.
Or I'll put on, one of those automatic filters if I'm having a really rough, banged-up day.
Well, to Aja's defense, I think she does have a lot of rough days.
She, every now and
then. She kind of needs the app.
Before I came to record tonight, I was again reading more on Aja here. I really am intrigued by the queen, because I think, looking at all of her different photos and her different looks, she's got the capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think she just needs a makeup lesson here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I really find her quite unique. I think throughout this contest, she's gonna get better and better. And people will see that evolution go from episode to episode.
Would you give her any tip in particular when it pertains to her makeup?
Making, when you're doing that there's a big thing right now of taking your eyeliner over your entire eyelid. Bringing it down.
Like right underneath your eyebrow?
Oh, yeah. Creating a whole new thing where you can't actually see your eyes anymore. It became really popular when Trixie Mattel started doing
it. I'm trying to even envision that.
I'll draw it out for you. Yeah.
Okay.
But actually, and speaking of other makeup that actually kind of blew me away was Shea Coulee.
Mm.
Her makeup is really coming along. Like, I don't know what she did differently. I think maybe she took a little bit of advice from not bringing the blue down as far as she did the last time.
Okay.
It was a little bit cleaner, but the runway look, and we'll talk about that obviously later on, was stunning. She looked so beautiful. So I was screaming like a little girl.
You were loving that.
But before we get into that, Rue visits all the girls. She
yes.
She comes to the workroom, and she visits with a lot of them. And she comes and visits Valentina. Now, guys, in the episode, Valentina is wearing a very large white scarf and white sunglasses while working in the workroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very bright in that room. So you're kind of like, okay, well, what is going on? And Rue looked at her and going, so what's going on?
What's going on under there,
and,
honey?
And Valentina did one of the things that drives me up the wall as a drag queen. She shaved off half her eyebrows.
Why?
And she says it herself, she it was her first time doing it. She felt like she looked a little crazy. And well, the reality of the fact is,
you do.
You do.
Yeah.
You look crazy without eyebrows. Eyebrows are framing feature of your face.
Microblading, honey, is a fabulous thing. I invested and I would recommend.
Yeah, and it's a really beautiful thing. That said, I know a lot of drag queens nowadays will shave off their brows and draw on, boy brows for the day. But there comes that time when, you're going to have to take them off. And if you want to have a sex life,
I was just going to say,
you're not going to have much of one without eyebrows, because no one wants powder giving them a blowjob.
I'm just analyzing your brows right now. What have you done with your ears? Are pretty short-ish?
Minor, exactly boy brows, but lightly groomed on the ends.
Lightly groomed.
That's it. I tell my esthetician, do not take anything. Do not make them too thin. Back in 1990s, there was a thing called like the Le Chateau eyebrow, where all the men that were sisters that worked at Le Chateau had really angry, sharp, pointed eyebrows. And I'm like,
God.
Oh, y'all look so unapproachable. So anyone that's listening to the show, if you're an aspiring drag queen,
don't do it.
But learn to block. There's multiple different ways. There's amazing YouTube videos. Try it first.
Watch a YouTube video first. I once tried to do one of my good friends, a guy, tried to do some drag makeup for him, but I didn't watch a video first, and I had no idea how to block up the eyebrows. It's an effing disaster.
It's the biggest problem when, like, a real girl, bio girls want to go, I want to do your drag makeup. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you look in the mirror and it's like, honey, I look like a 12-year-old. Like, cover girl does not cover boy.
It's a bit of a different style.
It's a very bit of a different style. And then going back into the drag room, Rue goes up to Trinity.
Mm.
And this is that shining moment in the show where I'm like, oh my God, Trinity is kind of cool.
What makes you say that?
I was listening to her talk about her her fantastic character, who again we'll bring it when we go into the runway looks, we'll
oh, yes.
All the names and everything. But she was talking about her look, and she was talking about her starfish character, and I'm like, oh my God, she actually has a bit of a funny bone. And I was kind of when my first impressions through Trinity was, I'm like, okay, she's a pageant queen, she's not gonna be that funny. And she's going to kind of be like, you know, when you're watching a show, like, okay, the pretty one. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. And then she kind of killed it for this entire
contest. Yeah, she didn't really
contest.
Show us that comedic side
in
the first
two.
She
had a funny style to her. And for a couple of seconds there, I got flashbacks of Chad Michaels. But she held her own. And I just really liked listening to her, and then how she was kind of like, again, throwing shade at Valentina and making a couple jokes here, going, haha, I'm gonna cut you, bitch. And I'm like, okay, so she actually is quite funny.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing what she comes up with.
And it's cool. I was actually watching a number of the queens on Instagram this week, just like Instagram Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of nice because Trinity specifically talked about her relationship with Valentina.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was
nice.
Such shade
nice.
On the show.
I follow Valentina. I don't follow Trinity.
Okay.
Yet.
Apparently they're like pretty tight now. They're
I can see that happening.
Quite
yeah.
good friends.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I believe that anyone in this situation, at the end of any kind of show like this, you're going to have a bond regardless.
Yes.
Unless you leave it like episode 2, 3,
wah, wah.
4, 5. You know.
Yeah.
Or you're just not memorable, you know. Who knows?
And then we had our, I'm going to start calling them the emosh moment of the show, the emotional moment. They've got one every episode.
Well, every episode, yeah, there's usually an emotional, but this one caught me off guard. For everyone that's listening to our podcast, you know, June 11th, we had the attack at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
A man walked into the nightclub during Latin night and started firing. And it struck a shockwave through a lot of us in the LGBTQ community. I'm trying not to get emotional here.
You can. It's all good. It is very emotional.
It was heartbreaking because you think that you're safe in your own, in an environment that caters to you, and you think you're safe. But it's a cold, harsh reminder that we aren't done fighting.
Yeah.
We aren't safe, and there's so much more work to be done. Yes, we've made leaps and bounds, and we've made amazing growth in history, but there's so much more to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a gut-wrenching moment there when You almost found out that, you know, Cynthia Lee Fontaine was supposed to perform that night.
Yeah.
And she got rescheduled, but a friend came by, and it just made me think, you know, for all the shows that we ever have, and thank God in Canada, you know, we're a little better off with our rights and our safety.
Mm-hmm.
Here, but in the States, it could happen to any one of us.
Oh,
we
for
could
sure.
go to a show and one person just decides to go, fuck this. You know, so it speaks a large amount of waves of it's just a harsh reminder that there's so much more to be done, but to take every moment and really love it.
Yeah.
For what it is, because you never know. And then when Trinity was mentioning that she was also the past Miss Pulse, it hit home even more, because these two queens who have never really crossed paths too much, were both affected by, you know, the same event. It just kind of reminds you at the end of the day that we were all affected by this.
For sure.
We all lost friends and loved ones. And for the victims that did lose their lives, you know, it's just that they're still not forgotten. We still think about them. So they're always going to be with us. And it's just, yeah. It's,
I wanted to ask you, because, mm-hmm. you know, they were kind of saying that they really feel that obviously there's still a lack of acceptance.
Big time.
In the community. And I wanted to just ask you specifically, like, if you experience that.
Throughout my own community, I'm blessed to be rather liked by the vast majority of people.
Mm-hmm.
But however, there is every now and then you get some people that just don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's okay. You can choose not to like me. But I will never give you too excessive amounts of shade.
Are you talking about people in your community, or I'm talking more just like the world as a whole?
Oh, in the world as
yeah. Like,
Jesus,
do you feel accepted by
God? No,
the world.
No, but I know that we are fighting to make, you know, it just easier, mm-hmm. and it's getting easier. The more we're visible, the more we're out there, the more we're not afraid to not talk about how we want to live our lives. It's our lives.
It just baffles my mind so much. I mean, I grew up with parents who were very open-minded, and my mom literally had talks with my brother and I mm-hmm. growing up saying, yeah. you know, like, whether you love a man, a woman, you're gay, straight, bi, like, whatever, we will love you no matter
yeah.
what.
Yeah.
So it just does, like, it literally, I just don't understand yeah. it.
Exactly. And I mean, like, a lot of every now and then, some people, actually, quite often sometimes, people don't have that luxury of having that family support, so you have to yeah. go out and you make your own family, and that's where there's like a drag sisterhood comes in.
Yeah.
Like when you're getting to watch Untucked too, if you guys haven't watched Untucked yet, there's a really super cute moment when they're all sitting around chatting about, you know, we're all sisters, but, you know, we can all have a joke here and there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, it's a competition. This isn't RuPaul's Best Friend Race.
Yes.
But you can you can overcome it at the end of the day and still look at your fellow sister and be like, you're amazing.
But you get close enough for Kimora to ask Cuckoo, or Cynthia, if her cuckoo is her butthole.
Yes.
You get
there,
that
there
close.
There was moments where you're like, wow, that's a really close moment. And then Cynthia explains, you know, how she couldn't say bad words at home, so she came up with the word cuckoo to talk about it. And I'm like, that is kind of cute.
It makes sense.
It makes sense.
It makes
and
sense.
when you grow up in a household that's very strict like that,
yeah.
you will come up with anything and how to talk about things.
It's very true.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to quickly go to a little break, and then we're going to come back and start talking the actual competition. All right, we'll be right back. RuPlay with Ray and Danae is brought to you by OutTV Go. OutTV Go provides streaming LGBTQ programming 24/7 for only $3.99 a month. With an OutTV Go subscription, you can watch TV shows, movies, documentaries, and more on your computer, mobile device, and your TV. Plus, OutTV Go is the destination for RuPaul, with hundreds of hours of RuPaul's Drag Race and Untucked. New episodes are available within minutes after their premiere on OutTV before you can watch them online anywhere else. There are also hundreds of episodes of other TV shows like Drag Queens of London, Broke Straight Boys, Not Today Bianca, and the original Queer as Folk, plus must-see LGBTQ movies and docs.
And we are back. Well, welcome back, everyone. If you're just joining us again, we're going over the episode here of RuPaul's Drag Race, Season 9, Episode 3. And we just finished going over the workroom and how the girls were talking about getting ready as they were getting ready and sharing stories. And we just were talking about the Pulse incident that Trinity and, well, basically almost everyone in that room were affected by. And now we're going to go on to...
Let's start the competition.
Let's start the competition. Yeah, so the runway looks.
It was really fun tonight. So the competition overall was for them to come up with their own unique princess character.
And sidekick.
And sidekick. Create a costume, create a story. This is such a fun one. And we started off with Cynthia Lee Fontaine, who came out as Princess Cuculina. And I just got to say, I almost called you Rue.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am Rue.
I wish Rue was here. Fuck.
Yeah, I'm not that dark, girl.
I felt really bad because the last episode, I was ripping her pretty bad for the whole cuckoo thing.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty bad because I posted our Your and I's photo and our podcast this week on social media.
Yes, you did, yes.
And she was the only queen who liked it out of all of them. So I was like,
Shit,
I hope she didn't listen. I feel horrible now. Cynthia, if you're listening, I love you. I love your cuckoo.
I want all your cuckoo, girl. Give me all your cuckoo.
That cuckoo. So she came out with her sidekick who prevented people from slapping her cuckoo.
Yes.
And stating that a happy ass is a, that a happy ass is a clean one. I think that's a bit of a no-brainer. I don't know anybody who likes a dirty ass.
I think her sidekick was kind of cute. I kind of was a little lost with the orb on the top of her head.
I really liked that.
I liked it. It was unique, but I'm like, okay, all right.
Like, what was it?
What was it? Yeah. So I kind of had a hard time kind of grasping some of the look with it. But overall, I was pleasantly pleased with it. Again, it didn't make me jump up. It didn't make me jump up and down, but it was cute.
I actually, in my notes, I put that I actually really liked her headpiece, and I also liked the constructed shoulder piece that she had as well.
Her construction abilities and her abilities to craft things are always very cool.
I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
I will say though, I thought her ass looked horrible.
Really?
Did you notice?
No, I wasn't staring at her.
Her ass to me reminded me of, you remember Cinderella, her mean stepsisters?
Yeah.
Who had like the really big, like poofy ass?
The poofy butts, yeah.
I was getting a little bit of that.
Oh, maybe I should stop studying like the hair and makeup so much and actually pay attention to the full outfit sometimes.
Look at the cuckoo.
Look at the cuckoo.
It's what she's all about. All
right, I'm going to look at your cuckoo, girl.
But her character, I found her sidekick. I couldn't honestly completely understand what she was like, her enunciation.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a radio broadcaster, so I'm always like, articulate, please. So I wasn't loving that.
All right.
Peppermint was our next one.
Peppermint was cute. She looked a little evil at first. Oh, sorry. Actually, you should.
Well, she came out as Carcinogetta. Carcinogetta was the name of her princess character.
Okay.
And her sidekick was Petey the Pilot Light.
That was cute. Come on. She walked around pretending to hold the CGI pilot light, Petey, who was very, very, what's the right word I want to use?
It was animated.
Animated and kind of like, yo, this is the deal. So I'm kind of like, okay.
You liked it?
You don't want to mess with Petey because Petey going to burn your motherfucking house down.
I went back and I honestly watched just the runway component itself.
Yeah.
I went back and rewatched it a second time because the first time I didn't like it.
Well, there's a lot to take in. She had a lot going on. She had the collar. She had the hair that I think.
The torch thing.
Yeah, I was trying to be like, was it a staff?
I think it was a torch.
But she had a lot going on. And then when she turned around, she had, I guess, the trails of fire from behind her. Or cinders, I guess is what you would call it. But it was just a long, odd piece of fabric that was just kind of trailing behind her.
It looked messy and sloppy to me.
Okay. And then she made the mistake of shadowing under her chin to make it look like soot,
right?
I guess. But it ended up looking like a beard. And I'm like, huh.
We intentionally try and get rid of that shit.
We're back at the beard challenge, and I had flashbacks of Jasmine Masters standing there like, with her painted on beard. So I went, nope. If you're gonna do a burnt smoldered kind of effect, make it a little bit more jagged, and that will make it look less like a beard.
Okay.
And more like smoke.
So a little more defined?
No, less defined. More kind of asymmetrical when you
Okay.
Like if you take your fingers and put put your middle finger down, like put your hand up in the air, put your middle finger down, put your pinky down, those two fingers, that would kind of be like that. So it goes long, short, long, short, long, short.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. That's a lot of work. I'm glad you're the makeup artist,
right?
And I'm not. when it came to Peppermint, I liked the fact that she included the story, like when she was younger, she was in a fire.
Yes.
And because of that, she's very afraid of fires. And I thought it was kind of cool how she took a personal story.
And she made it strong. Yeah.
I actually really liked that because I felt like a number of the girls, their princess characters were just so like out of left field that it was like, I just wasn't connecting to the story.
Okay, yeah,
and
no, fair enough. Yeah.
Hers I did, but overall I found her look was kind of messy. I wasn't a fan.
Okay, fair enough.
After that, we moved on to Pheromone, who was Princess Pacifica, and she kind of came out like the mermaid princess.
Yeah, how do I use the right word to sum this up? It was basic. She pulled, and you know, past contestants on the show have been read for taking a piece of fabric and wrapping it around their waist.
Mm-hmm.
It was exactly that. And we knew that was coming, though.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, I had such high hopes for Farrah. And it's just, she's such a gorgeous queen. I want her to try more and actually just try and not be like,
This is hard.
It's hard. It's like you're having a bad anal, honey. Just...
Is that how
step
it sounds?
Up and just take it, girl. Get in there and get it done.
Did everyone else just get a visual of Ray? And
oh, let's not have that visual, please.
All
right. It was kind of just unrememorable. And then reading off a script, if you're going to paint eyeballs on your eyes, you have to keep your eyes closed and solidly closed the entire time or you kill the illusion.
Yeah, so her sidekick was Pebblina the Blowfish, who was her royal publicist trying to keep her from drinking and being a hot mess in front of the Sharkarati.
Which I thought was hilarious. Come on, Sharkarati, that is clever. She had some clever moments in this one, and she just didn't execute it.
Hers wasn't my least favorite, though. Like, the fact that she, yes, we're pissed off at you, Farrah, that you didn't take a damn sewing class before you came onto this show.
Or try harder.
But she still turned it out pretty good, considering. I liked the starfish that she had
all
over her.
I like how she accessorized. She can embellish.
Yeah.
I can see that she can embellish, and I know that if she had a plain outfit, she could embellish it like there's no tomorrow.
Totally.
So I'm going to give her props there. But... I'm hoping that she stays and she doesn't go into the bottom, too, because I still want to see what she does.
I really like her makeup, too, like her bottom
lashes.
She's gorgeous.
No, she doesn't need tips on hair or makeup. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
But I want her to commit more to her looks. Like, in episode two, episode one, she had the Gaga look from the Alejandro video. And it was a tearaway. She should have taken it off. But she didn't. And she got nervous and she stopped herself. So... stop fighting yourself and just commit. Even if you make a fool of yourself at the end of the day, you can walk away going, you know, I tried. It didn't work. Or it worked so well and I'm so happy that I tried.
Yeah.
That's the best you can do with it, right?
Yeah, I'm just not really sensing the passion from her. And I don't know. I feel like you can sense that in a person even when she's just in the room talking to Rue.
Fair enough, yeah.
You know, it's like...
She wants to be there, but she kind of wasn't expecting this much work, maybe, which is kind of ridiculous because we're on season 9 of Drag Race.
And I think probably queens who are people in general who are really attractive oftentimes can get by on their looks.
True. That's very true.
You know, and don't have to learn to build a lot of those actual skills.
Yeah, exactly. No, I fully agree. I will fully agree on that one. I think she ended up having... kind of a completed look, but it was just kind of basic. So it wasn't anything that great. But
She's going to have to step it up if she wants to stay.
Yeah, agreed.
Up next, we had Charlie Hides, who came out as Princess Climaxia with her sidekick, Isabella Snatchpacker.
Charlie, when she first walked around that corner, took my breath away.
Really?
I loved the look. I loved the head, the big hair with the stars in it. The big oversized dress. She just looked like a princess. She looked exactly like the challenge was supposed to.
I hate to fully disagree.
That's okay.
But
you're allowed
I fully
to disagree with me.
Disagree.
We are allowed to disagree, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
I feel like, you know, when people get Botox in their face and they can't move their faces.
That is half this season, but Yes.
I feel like that's what's happened to Charlie's personality.
Really?
Yeah, like
I thought she was more of the smarty, oh my god. more witty and educational charm or humor, sorry, not charm. Oh my
I know
god,
what
sorry,
you're
guys.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There's something still about her though to me that's just like she's not coming out with like fucking I want her to come out like guns blazing, like
maybe she's just holding back. But she did a lot better this challenge than she did the last one.
Something about her is muted to me.
Okay.
And I'm just not excited about Charlie at all.
Well, she is over 50. You never know.
And that's maybe what it is. Like, maybe
but I did,
it's
I
nap
found
time.
Her, I found her humor funny. I thought the play on words and everything else like that was pretty hilarious. And she made it entertaining to watch. So instead of just sitting there listening to someone walk down the runway, turn around, make some monotone jokes, and then leave.
That's so interesting because I found her story to be a little bit monotone. Like, if I really listened to the story, what she was saying, I was like, okay, this is kind of funny with the kind of linguist.
And go back and take another.
She likes foreign tongue. Like, that was funny.
Come on, it was funny.
But I was just not overly engaged by Charlie.
All right.
But the beehive was good.
Thank you.
I did like the beehive.
Oh, thank you.
Next, we had Eureka. And I love this bitch. I love Eureka.
I think she had, first of all, explain the name and her sidekick.
So she was Princess Eureka of Daria, and she had the little dog sidekick.
That dog looked so perverted, like it was going to either hump your leg or like...
Where's your mind at? I never had that thought.
Take a shit in your fucking purse. The dog looked so dirty, but it was perfect to the character. It was complimentary, it flowed, they looked like a pair that you would see in like a Disney film, like... The high pretty princess and like that weird kind of kooky what are you sidekick.
I really liked it because I felt like her sidekick was one of the only ones who's like her sidekick was so different from her.
Yeah.
There was such a contrast that like I didn't see Eureka in her sidekick.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's very true. And then also but like they were in such a high contrast. But you could tell that they're from the same universe. They're from the same world. The dog is covered in dirt. She's covered in dirt. But she also had a glam. She looked kind of glamorous at the same time. So she did trash glam glamour.
Loved the cockroaches with the rubies on her face.
I loved the, it was the crown headpiece by her, another loaf. But that's okay. I will not read her for wearing another loaf.
She does love the loaf.
She loves the loaf. I love bread too. I would love to see this queen. She probably already has done it. I'm sure she's done it a million times. But to do it, Ursula.
Yes.
She would slay as Ursula.
Oh my God, 100%.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure out there in the depths of Instagram world, she probably has a photo where she's done it.
Oh, yeah.
But if I am missing the point and I haven't seen it, someone feel free to send that to me. I would love to see that, and I'd love to blast that over my
I actually
media.
Just had Ursula. I was on Instagram the other day, and I had, you know, when it shows you photos of people you might like. Or I had a drag queen doing Ursula come up.
Nice.
And this was before we started the podcast. I'm wondering, actually, I took a screenshot of it and sent it to my girl group.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Anyways. Up next, we had Alexis Michelle.
Yes.
And I was really hoping to be wowed by Alexis this week. She was my pick last week of, like, people to watch.
And during the workroom, she had the blue and the white paint kind of going on. So I'm like, okay, cool. You're doing a different skin tone. But she was playing the princess named...
She did the princess Subway Fish.
Subway Fish.
Which was inspired because she's known as
taking
being...
the subway in drag to her gigs. Which is cool. When you live in the big city, yeah, you do that. Okay. It's probably not... You know, rare to see club kids or people dressed up in costume or full drag on the subway. I know a queen in New York that does that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she doesn't go full drag. She'll have, like, a face on her and a bald cap.
Right.
Right?
But. Right. No, this outfit for me, like, her story, I liked, once again, the fact that she brought something from her life to her character.
Yeah.
But then I felt like her makeup, her costume, none of it really told that story.
It just didn't stand out. Like, it was put together. It was nice. But it wasn't like, oh my God, that's beautiful. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, you're pretty.
And I just didn't really feel like it correlated. Like, why was she, like, I saw, like, she had crabs on her or whatever. Yeah. Okay. But, like, why the hell was she holding a stick? What was the stick all about?
Maybe she, like, fends people off with it. Like,
I don't know.
Them.
this, just her outfit. If I saw her in that outfit, I would be like, what is this?
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of like a cheaper Halloween costume.
Totally.
You'd get from like Spirit Halloween.
It didn't really tell the story.
No.
And I was disappointed because I will say, I think Alexis is the one that I would want to bone the most. He's hot.
He's
without
very
the drag.
Attractive. I will give him that.
He's hot.
He gives me some lady boner. I will admit to that. He's got a very attractive face and a good personality, and I like that. I like a good personality because you can work on everything else, but you can't fix a shitty personality. Who do we have next?
Up next, we had Kimora Black, who did Princess Banana Lady. Such a creative name.
That was the biggest pile of crap I've seen in a long time.
With
I
her
see
sidekick,
a lot of drag.
Funky Monkey.
Funky Monkey, the monotone, flat voice, I'm going to tell bad jokes because I'm robotic, monkey. It was bad.
I think it's the same thing as Farrah, right?
Yeah.
She's a very attractive
relied on her pretty
queen.
Yeah.
Very entitled, spoiled, you can tell, and has not maybe built up like the personality.
No, maybe not. Maybe she hasn't put the hard effort in to kind of be a bit humble.
Yeah.
We've talked about how Kimora has whined quite a bit on the show. I know she does work hard, but that being said, I just feel like she shot herself in the foot by not trying hard enough to do it. And then, you know, just...
I did like the fact, though, that her funky monkey was protecting her from all the men with the small bananas.
Yes.
That was nice of her sidekick to do that.
Everyone wants a big banana because a big banana leads to a healthy breakfast.
That's right.
That being said, she tried to have another moment with Rue and the judges going, I feel very uncomfortable not wearing hip pads because that's all I've ever known, so I feel out of my element.
Yeah, bitch, please.
I'm like...
Yeah, it just seemed like...
And even Michelle had to make fun of her going, we're having... This is my moment. Oh, my...
It's a crisis. No hip pads.
No hip pads. I mean, yeah, sure. I feel weird with that when I don't have my hip pads in. But
I wasn't looking at the hip pads.
Stop me.
I was looking at that ass. Her ass is just like...
It's legendary. We all know that. It's a pretty fierce ass.
That's damn good.
But yeah, then it just kind of was just... I just couldn't listen to her talk anymore. I just had to I just wanted to fast forward it. And go
she
like,
really
nope,
bugs
next,
you,
next.
Eh?
No, she doesn't really bug me.
Are you
it's
sure?
Just, it's just.
I'm sensing a reaction.
I just wanted to try harder.
Up next, we had Nina Bonina Brown, who came out as Princess Zathina from the planet Bad Bitch Uranium.
Bad Bitch Uranium
Yo!
Is a fucking fierce planet. I feel like I was like from that planet. I got dropped off on the way because they didn't want my white ass. I'm okay with that. Thanks for leaving me behind. That was fucking so, and I said earlier in the podcast, that was out of this world.
You love Nina, eh?
I love Nina because it's literally, she took a concept and went so beyond the scope of being your normal princess.
Yeah.
And just made a beautiful alien, big eyeball with black sclera lenses. Creature that just was fierce, and then her companion was this miniature big titted version of her.
I loved the bouncy boobs,
and it had bouncy tits, and I'm like, she is a fully realized concept character, look down to a T. And again, she did an alien makeup with a huge, I don't know if it was cardboard, if it was a metal piece of paper, but another cutout. That she glued to her head, and she slayed it. She killed it.
This was the first look of hers that I was really loving. I know in the past you were a massive fan of when she did the peach and the Mickey Mouse. I wasn't really feeling those before. But this one I was pretty impressed with. I wish there had been something more like princessy about it.
Maybe she had a bit of a ball gown on the bottom. Kept the bodysuit on the top, but like a bit of a dress on the bottom. That's what I would have added that. And then longer fingers. I would have done like the creepy alien hands just to really like finalize
cool.
it.
Yep, I agree
and
with that.
Again, you create more of a hand texture with it, and that's kind of cool. I will say though, and she mentioned it in Untucked, the fabric did kind of give her what I like to call lopsided boob.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I was
going
to call it something else, but I'm like, I'm on the radio. I'm not going to do that.
you can say anything you want here, right, Sunshine?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
So she did have a bit of a weird boob going on.
Oh.
But that's what happens when certain fabrics will catch on to boobs for queens, the breastplates, they kind of sit lopsided.
And that happens to a lot of women in real life. A lot
it
of
does.
Women have different sized boobs. So,
hey,
realistic. I will say her voice, once again, as a radio announcer, was driving me effing bananas. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't listen to her story. It was so monotone. I couldn't.
Fair enough. Okay.
Up next, we had Sasha Velour, who came out as Princess Aglina with her sidekick Lump, and they were from Selfdoutia. I loved this one.
So this one was really good because it was also like, it was her imaginary friend.
Yeah.
So it was actually, if you break down that story, it's a really beautiful story. It tells, you know, how she was doubting herself and she really put herself down and she made herself feel ugly and then she brought herself back out and she let herself out of the cage. I thought, you know, finding acceptance in yourself.
Yeah.
There's a really cool story behind that one. So I'm like, okay, all right, Sasha, you have officially gained a spot in my heart for being
right.
At my first, as we all know, my first reactions are like, oh, another bald queen, here we go.
Yeah, you weren't a fan.
And now I'm like, okay, I can get into you.
Yes.
So I started following her on Instagram and I'm like, all right, some of your looks are pretty fucking cool.
Well, I really liked it because I thought hers was the most artistic.
Very.
To have that story and then, yeah, that correlation.
It was a story that a lot of people can connect with.
Absolutely.
But you have to kind of see past like the first like, you know, this is the story. Wait a minute. Let me reread that story and read between the lines. Oh, my God. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it was a great metaphor.
So it was cool. It was well done.
I loved it. Okay. Up next, Shea Coulee, who was Princess Aquaria, and she had Moon Pearl as her sidekick. This one, honestly, another one. I'm sorry. When you talk, have a little expression, excitement.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't.
Okay.
The dress won me over.
The dress, the silhouette, and the body shape was everything.
That was gorgeous. But like, could you? Maybe it's just me. Could you even actually like hear what her story was saying?
Not really.
No.
No. But I was so mesmerized by her dress and her makeup and how she churned that look out. I'm like, okay, you're gonna be forgiven.
But
that's
only
okay.
gonna go so far. Like the
well,
looks
it's only
are.
Episode three.
The looks are only. So much of it, like if
true,
you don't
that's
have
very true.
The, I think if you don't have the passion and the personality to
I
like,
think she's got passion, but maybe not the pronunciation.
The passion, though, to me comes out in a person's tone and
okay,
the way they express
enough.
It. And
right.
There was just like none of that in her story. I didn't get any of that.
Maybe she just didn't put enough thought into it, and she was more focused on actually creating the characters instead.
Maybe.
Which can happen. I mean,
but
it happens to me
all the time. This is season 9, bitch. Step it up. Up next, we had Valentina, who came out as Princess Vera with her shady little godmother, whose advice was to hate everyone.
y'all know I loved Valentina.
You're obsessed.
I'm obsessed. I got the ice effect because she was all sparkly, but it was kind of like, it wasn't like an ice princess. It was more like a fairy ice princess. Like, they were both